This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sunit Fun 2017 in Lakeland, Florida. I'm with Dan Johnson of the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association. Dan, lots of stuff going on in the light sport world. One of the most interesting, though, that you've been working on, I know you've been trying to nudge the FAA in a lot of different directions, but possibly one of the most potentially fruitful is using light sport airplanes for commercial work. Tell us what that commercial work might entail and how to make it happen.
Well, we've adopted the term aerial work, which is a European term, to stay away from commercial use, which might be interpreted to be passenger or cargo carrying, which certainly is not part of our request. But let's take an example. There's a whole list of things we could talk about, but let's take one example because I want to observe the differences between doing so in a light sport versus, let's say, using a drone to do it. And let's talk about pipeline inspections. These pipelines run all over the country, mile after mile after mile, and they need to be regularly inspected to make sure there's no leaks or other problems associated with them. Potentially, yes, you could do that with a drone, and maybe in the future they will be. But today, I think the best opportunity is for a manned aircraft, and a light sport is a very effective tool to do that with and has already proven itself in many ways. They're fuel conserving. They are relatively quiet. They have someone on board whose license could be at risk if things don't go well, so there's a natural kind of control to the system. And FAA's initial response was, well, no, that's not what we intended. The rule talks about sport and recreational use, and we get that, except that it already allows flight instruction, rental, and towing, which are all commercial activities that already exist and were written right into the program. So there's a fuzzy line between that's okay, but flying a pipeline patrol is not okay. Now, we know it takes rule change to truly allow that, so what we've gone to them and said is, look, would you allow an exemption for this? And in return for an exemption, given to the individual companies, not to LAMA, they'll have to each prove themselves to FAA that they're worthy of that. But if they get the exemption, then what? They go out and do things? Well, then what happens about that? How do we know anything about it? So what LAMA has stepped up to the plate and said is, look, we'll create an online method for all these people who get the privilege, who by getting the privilege have to participate, and they will log their time, any incidents they have, what the results were, exact parameters to be defined yet, and whatever meets FAA's requirements in that regard. And FAA has been very responsive to that. We're just at the beginning phases of it. I don't want to overstate what we might be able to achieve, but we're hopeful that we could get an exemption to allow light commercial use or aerial work of light sport for very specific defined activities.
One thing you said that I found interesting is that the expansion of the drone market has helped this.
Yeah, it almost seems opposite, that the existence of drones would say, well, we got drones now, we don't need you LSA guys to do this. But in fact, when we first presented this to FAA and they said, well, no, that's not what's allowed, we observed to them that, well, drones are being allowed to do more and more this way within the range of what they can do. They have their limits too, but certain things they're very, very good at, and why not allow them? And FAA is allowing them, as we all read. And one of the people in the room, we have been lucky to meet with many of the top executives at FAA on our series of meetings that we had in 2016. And one of the people in the room went, well, you know, he's got a point there about the drones, and we're letting drones do this with nobody on board. Shouldn't we consider these fellows? Because they have to admit, our safety record, our performance, our industry keeping its nose to the grindstone and doing the right things has been pretty good. Good enough that they are now using ASTM standards to consider for certified aircraft as the method of compliance. So what we have done obviously has paved some new roads, changed some minds, and it's now time to allow us to do these kinds of things, we believe.
Just briefly comment on the inching forward progress on electric propulsion.
Sure. Electric propulsion is one of our other three initiatives, and the third one is a gyroplane, fully built gyroplanes. The electric initiative kind of goes like this. In an ultralight aircraft, a genuine Part 103 ultralight weighing no more than 254 pounds, the use of electric power is already reasonable. Now, you're not going to have a long flight time. You might have 20, 30, 40 minutes of flight time with the amount of batteries you can carry on board and remain within the tight 254-pound weight. However, in those kind of aircraft, you're not looking to go several hundred miles away from home. You probably want to fly around the local patch and get a little bit of air under your wings. And so if you fly for 20 or 30 minutes and then you have to come back and land, that's fine. That's a good activity for them. But some people obviously want to do a little more than that. And how do you begin to acquire information when it's not permitted anywhere? That's been a source of frustration for many people trying to push forward with electric. And so we are going to approach FAA and say, well, in these aircraft, there may be ways for slide-in batteries to be considered something other than the empty weight of the aircraft. And FAA doesn't really have to do anything about that. If they accept that idea, we could go forward again to collect information to say later, okay, now for the two-seat electric-powered LSA or later even larger aircraft that are electric-powered, data is a very important thing. FAA prizes that very highly. We can help start to collect some of that for them, and we hope that'll at least loosen the logjam somewhat. And the lightest aircraft are the most likely right now.
Okay, Dan Johnson of LAMA, thanks for the update, and I hope we have this conversation at Aero next year.
I hope so, too. That'd be great. We wish they could get that worked out. You and I'd both like to be at Aero. It's a wonderful show. Got to be here for this one. So thanks very much, Paul. We appreciate it.
Okay. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sun and Fun 2017 from Lakeland, Florida. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.